back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to get to our next guest in just a second. We got a quick word from Greenovatives, some news from Greenovative and our folks over there, Mr. Alan Riggs. Since our launch with Hagman and Hagman in late September of 2016, Greenovative has enjoyed acclaim from our audience. Greenovative responded with changes to their product line based on Hagman audience feedback and requests for more power. They first introduced the Super G-Mag charger package with replaceable power pucks and some really cool accessories. This was a big hit, but the Hagman audience wanted more, so Greenovative developed the Super G-Mag complete package that had lots of batteries and lots of adapters. You guessed it, the Hagman audience wants more, and today is the day for more, inducing the Greenovative complete package with two pairs of the triple power pucks. Each pair of the triple power pucks will recharge over 300 AA batteries. With one pair of the triple power pucks, G-Mag chargers will recharge 6 AA batteries every week for an entire year. And then you can use the other triple power pucks for another year. Truly amazing. To say thanks again, Greenovative is offering a 12% discount on their G-Mag complete packages that come either with two pairs of standard power pucks or two pairs of the double power pucks or two pairs of the triple power pucks. It's your choice, folks. Go to greenovative.com, that's greenovative.com, and enter the discount code Hagman to receive your 12% discount on one or more of their complete packages. When you need it, you'll be glad you did. Say a thank you to Alan Riggs and get in touch with him with any questions.
You know, I'm so excited to have with us, we're excited to have with us Chris Kabatz. I feel like I know Chris. I don't know him personally, but I know him by reputation, by profession. He's just a tremendous undercover investigator, security consultant. His website, understandingthethreat.com. He is the National Security Consultant, Vice President of Understanding the Threat. Go to understandingthethreat.com. But where I was introduced to him, he's the son of Dave Kabatz, Chris Kabatz, of the book Muslim Mafia Fame. Now, folks, if you don't have a copy of this book, get your hands on this book, Muslim Mafia. It is a tremendous investigative expose into the Council on American Islamic Relations. I just can't say enough good about this book and about the investigative work product by our next guest here, Mr. Chris Kabatz. He's the son of an Air Force, career Air Force OSI, a special agent. He grew up in as a son of a military person, grew up in a number of different locations. He's worked for several Fortune 500 companies conducting fraud investigations and asset protection. Parallel to what my career, actually, although he's a lot younger and better looking than I am. So, having said that, Chris, thank you so much for your gift of time coming on with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad to be on tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, your reputation precedes you, at least in my venue, in the investigative realm. Can we start out by talking about your role in Muslim Mafia, your role in exposing CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, before it really was popular?
Sure, yeah. You said it. It definitely wasn't popular to speak about Islamic terrorism or the caliphate or Sharia or jihad back in 2007.
Right.
But my father was a career Air Force. He was a federal agent, as you said earlier, with the Air Force, and he worked primarily counterintelligence operations towards the end of his career. And he retired in the late 90s, and after 9/11, the Air Force OSI asked federal agents, OSI agents, to come back, and they needed a lot of help. And he actually went to the State Department, became a U.S. State Department-trained Arabic linguist, and went over to Iraq in 03 and 04 in the war there. When he came back, he was very passionate about understanding what we were up against over in the Middle East. And he started doing what an investigator does, which is going straight to the source. And he started going into mosques and asking questions. And that led to a project that we call now, because of the book, the Muslim Mafia Project. and he just needed someone that he could trust to go undercover. And he asked me, you know, my father's a patriot. He raised a patriot. I was, I'm the last person in the world that ever considered myself being right in the middle of the counter jihad movement. But, the rest is, history, as they say. I went in, undercover in 2007 and 2008, did a fake conversion to Islam, in front of, a group of Muslims at Dar al-Hijra. Now, if you're not familiar, or many of your listeners are, I'm sure you're familiar with Dar al-Hijra. This is a mosque in Northern Virginia, and the imam at the mosque prior to my fake conversion there was a man by the name of Anwar al-Awlaki. I'm sure we've all heard of him. He's the he was the moderate voice of Islam until he popped up in Yemen as an al-Qaeda leader. So the person that brought me through my conversion at the beginning of this project was Sheikh Shaker al-Sayed, who was a executive with the Muslim American Society, which is the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, meaning they don't even try to hide it, that they're Muslim Brotherhood here in America. And so when I speak about Islam, when I do, when I brief legislators or work with citizen groups or train law enforcement, my experience when I talk about Islam, Sharia, and Jihad is all from learning about it in the mosques. I've been to mosques all over the country as part of this project and other projects. And but I found myself after my conversion learning about Islam from Islamic scholars, going to the mosques, learning how to pray as a Muslim, learning how to eat, learning how to interact with other Muslims, so that I would come off as a Sharia compliant Muslim once I showed up to Cara, Maryland, Virginia office in Herndon, Virginia, and started working as an intern there. And I ended up spending 6 straight months undercover with CARE, both at the Herndon location and then later on in Washington, D.C., and ended up preserving 12,000 pages of documents.
Wow, that's an amazing story. And, you know, I've worked as an investigator and not in really, I mean, you do little things. I can't imagine the amount of time that you spent undercover and what it would be like to go through that fake conversion for the purposes of going undercover. Can you talk about that a little bit? What that was like? Did you have any doubts? Was there, what was going on in your mind during this time?
You know, it really was a matter of just getting at the truth. And the best way to do that was to go straight to the source. Looking back on it at the time, I mean, I was in my 20s. You know, this was something that, I was more than happy to do for my country.
I remember those times, Chris. I'm invincible, man. I can do this.
Exactly. I don't know any other way to put it other than just that's where I was at the stage of my life. I actually, to be honest, yeah, there were some dark moments there, but for the most part, working on this project with my father, I had a lot of fun with it. I really did. So,
you know, if I could just say this, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it seems like we talk about books all of the time, and we do. WND Superstore. Okay, I cannot recommend this book. This book to me, and you'll notice it's tabbed and everything. I got this book when it, you know, this was like, I think this might even be an advanced copy, but the bottom line is this. This will tell you so much. Even it has been expunged from the internet today. But I love some of the pictures in here. And man, you looked, not that you've aged a lot or anything like that, Chris, but some of the pictures in here, just phenomenal. You had brass ones. Let me tell you, you have brass ones, okay? I got to tell you, because, you know, having worked as an undercover operative, you take some risks. And just some of the images in here and how you got to where you were and stuff, let me tell you, congratulations. I'm sure they clang when you walk. And if people are offended by that, I'm sorry, but man, you really, this is amazing stuff. So go to WND Superstore. By the way, use our promo code Hagman. Shameless plug for us. WND Superstore. Get this book, promo code Hagman. But Chris, now that I got off on a tangent there, yeah, the case, you were sued, right?
Oh yeah, we're still in the midst of I have something along 8 years that we've been involved in this lawsuit.
Oh joy. Well, yeah. We're part of that club too, just different plaintiffs. So, what were you sued for, or what are you being sued for?
Oh, it's look. What we're technically being sued for is, I think they've whittled it down to three different charges. They started out with about nine, and this is all civil.
Sure.
But they whittled it down to DC and federal wiretap laws and Stored Communications Act. It's completely ridiculous. Essentially, they're saying, now DC is a one-party state, meaning, or one-party district, meaning that only one person has to be, know about that there's a recording going on. That was right. Myself.
Yep.
Apparently the claim is they're saying that I would have been privy to conversations that I wouldn't normally have if I didn't have a recording device, which is crazy.
That's a Hail Mary,
right.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's a Hail Mary of the offense. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, if they're correct in their assertion, then that would end any undercover journalism or research out there, which is just absurd. People have a right to record in one party states, but from my perspective, I really just think that they felt like they got punched in the mouth, figuratively, of course, and. And this is just a show for their donors. And look, they're one of the most litigious organizations in America. They wage lawfare, which is, from their perspective, a Sharia perspective, a form of jihad, against all kinds of Americans. So in many ways, I am more than happy to get up on the stand and defend what we did. This is really, from my perspective, they're just trying to save face with
yes.
this law.
Yes. And I will say that you mentioned the word lawfare. And again, being in that club, it's an expensive club. The price of admission is quite high because regardless of the merits of the case, you still have to fight. You have to pay an attorney. You
right.
have, you know, and it's you wake up in the morning and you just wonder what fresh hell you're going to wake up to again. You know, so I get all that, but seriously, you taking on this Leviathan, along with your dad and how you did this, I have so much admiration for you. What do you want to talk, what can we talk about with where we are today? Because maybe to add context to things, and again, folks, this book, Critical Reading, Muslim Mafia, by David Gabatz and Paul Sperry, WorldNet Daily, WND Superstore, use the promo code Hagman. It does help us out. It helps them out, helps us out. But, where should we start given the landscape, the political landscape after 8 years of Obama and of course previous to that, the softening up of America, with Islam? Where do you want to take this?
Well, you know, it's interesting when we're talking about Muslim Mafia. This is one of those books that I would argue is more relevant now than when it came out.
Agreed.
I mean, CARE is still Hamas. CARE is still the Muslim Brotherhood. And they were back in 2009 when this book came out. But this tells the story of who they are and how they operate. And the playbook that CARE uses and the Muslim Brotherhood uses here in America, a lot of parallels with the DNC playbook because it really hasn't changed since that book came out in 2009. Now, when the book came out, there wasn't an Islamic State caliphate. And I think that really changed the landscape to where the average American started to realize, oh, this handful of people that we're talking about, the goal of jihadi groups all over the planet was to wage jihad until they had a caliphate. Well, now we've actually seen it happen. And I think ever since the Islamic State has come around, more and more Americans and people in the West are starting to wake up. But what we talked about, the political influence operations that the Muslim Brotherhood and specifically CARE operated in 2009, they're still doing those operations today. The media manipulation and propaganda that they're able to work with mainstream media, I mean, it's from analyzing the enemy on this, it's incredibly impressive just how entrenched a Hamas, a jihadi organization, which CARE is a Hamas organization, per evidence in terrorism trials, including the largest terrorism financing and Hamas trial ever successfully prosecuted in U.S. history, the U.S. versus Hoyland Foundation. It's amazing how knowing all of that information, whenever there's a story in the Associated Press or other mainstream media outlets, CARE is one of the first people that is quoted in the story, even though this is a jihadi organization. That to me just shows the level of penetration that they've been able to accomplish. And if anything, they've sped that up since Muslim Mafia came out in 2009. They certainly haven't slowed down at all.
How did Obama massage this? Let me ask it differently. What role do you think Obama played in the larger sense with respect to CARE and Islam in the United States as a whole?
Well, CARE is a Hamas organization, which is the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. So CARE is Hamas here in the United States. The Muslim Brotherhood has the exact same agenda as the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda, again, to establish an Islamic State under Sharia. Obama was the dream president for the Muslim Brotherhood, because while the Muslim Brotherhood certainly had a seat at the table, they were certainly part of the decision-making process under the Bush years. They had brought themselves or insinuated themselves into the administration and affected foreign policy, particularly when it came to the Middle East, and were beginning to affect counterterrorism training programs here in the United States. They really took off during the Obama years. I mean, they were regulars at the White House. People like Ingrid Mattson, Muhammad Majid, these are people that Muhammad Majid, just to give you an example, is someone that was the president of the Islamic Society of North America, which per evidence entered into terrorism trials, the Islamic Society of North America is a Muslim Brotherhood organization. And he had a secret clearance and was part of the Department of Homeland Security Advisory Committee under the Obama years. He is not alone in that. There are literally dozens and dozens of Muslim brothers that were influencing the administration, influencing our counterterrorism, literally purging from counterterrorism training manuals any reference to Islam, Sharia, or jihad, even though 100% of jihadis are saying that they're fighting, in the example of Muhammad, to establish an Islamic State under Sharia. If you can't train the national security apparatus, if you can't train FBI agents, DHS agents on jihadi doctrine and modus operandi, then how are they ever going to understand how to locate, investigate, and prosecute jihadis? And that was the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they were welcomed right in with open arms into the Obama administration.
It's interesting. Chris, I want to kind of take go into left field a little bit here and ask you more of a question of society and pop culture of why Islam is becoming so accepted in circles like Hollywood, like in the major political circles. Why is becoming so kind of trendy to be Islamic? What's the appeal that you see there?
Well, it's twofold. More than twofold, but I'll just limit it to a few of the major ones. So we have to remember that the Muslim Brotherhood has been at this since the 60s. The first, when I say at this, meaning per their own documents, they say that they want to destroy American civilization from within. And they have been at this since the 60s. The first national Islamic organization in America, the Muslim Students Association, was founded in 1963, and they have created hundreds of organizations to affect every aspect of life, professional organizations, interfaith dialogue organizations, media organizations, and of course on Into Care. And one of the organizations that works primarily Hollywood to influence screenwriters, producers, is the Muslim Public Affairs Council. So they will work directly with writers and producers to make sure that nothing offensive to Muslims, which the Muslim Brotherhood, because its impact, gets into scripts and gets in onto TV shows. And whenever there, something does leak out that, or come out that they don't like, then there's a backlash that that show will have to face. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is darker than that. This is just, there is an element, there's almost two societies working in America right now, from my perspective, where you've got Americans that love this country, they're patriotic, and I would say one of the delineating factors would have been people that voted for President Trump this past election. And then you've got this other aspect of society, particularly led by the hard left Marxist socialist groups, that want to tear down every aspect of America that the founding fathers built this country on. And we're seeing this with mainstream media that is working with the progressives and the hard left because they're one and the same more often than not. And then in pop culture, that is all just melting together. And it's amazing to me that while the jihadi groups and Islam in general is antithetical to everything that the so-called progressives stand for, where they agree is they want to destroy the West, particularly destroy America, have a revolution here, and build up this socialist, Marxist, state. And, in order to do that, you have to create chaos in order to have a revolution. And, that's where the progressives and the hard left Marxists and the jihadis are willing to work together. And, now, am I saying that they sit around in meeting rooms and talk about this? No, that's just the general consensus. Are there leaders within these movements that do have meetings, whether it's jihadi groups or leftists? Absolutely. And they, and we're seeing them work together, and we've seen them walk hand in hand for the last few years. So there's a lot that goes into this, but at the end of the day, the simple answer is that the jihadi groups and the socialists and the Marxists want to destroy America, and they're willing to work together on that.
You know, this is a subject I really want to get into. We're about 3 minutes away from the bottom of the hour network break. I'd like to get into that a little bit more afterwards. I got some specific questions about some people. But as we approach the bottom of the hour break, you, again, are the Vice President and Security Consultant for Understanding the Threat, which is located at understandingthethreat.com. You provide, in fact, your organization is the only organization in America which is training our leaders, elected officials, and law enforcement and others about the global Islamic movement and jihad networks in communities around the nation. Do you mind giving us a couple of minutes, summary of your organization, understanding the threat as we approach the break?
Sure. So we work with legislators, leaders at the federal, state, and local level, citizen groups, and law enforcement to dismantle the jihadi network. We feel like our assessment is that this is a vast network here in America that's working every angle of the jihad. And it's so critical that we understand the threat before we can even start to strategize about how to dismantle the jihadi network here in America. So our flagship program, besides working with legislators and citizens groups, is a 3-day program for law enforcement, where on the first day we train about Sharia. We spend 8 hours going over Sharia law and how that affects law enforcement. The second day, we break down the jihadi network here in America, which is focused primarily on the Muslim Brotherhood, but we go into other groups that are operating here as well and abroad, and the doctrine that's driving those groups, which, again, it goes back to day one on the program, which is Sharia. And on day three, we give them, now that they know Sharia and they know the network, investigative tools on how to locate, investigate, and prosecute jihadis.
And I'll tell you what, you could not have timed that better. That's fantastic. Your organization, understanding the threat, understandingthethreat.com, folks, go to that site, check it out, look at their mission statement, look at what they are all about, the resources there. Is the training, how does one, let's say a police department in our area would like to partake, just contact you, is that?
Just go on the website and under the contact tab and let us know, and we'll definitely reach out to them and give them some more information.
Actually, because I did have a conversation with one of the brass of a local police department here, not too far from here, and we were talking about this very issue. So you might be getting a call based on our recommendation. We're talking with Chris Kabatz, understandingthethreat.com, but the guy featured is the undercover operative in this book right here, Muslim Mafia. Go to WorldNet Daily. Go to WND Superstore, superstore.wnd.com. Use the promo code Hagman and grab yourself a copy of this book. You will not be sorry. Just the part about Anwar el-Awlaki alone. Worth the price of the book, plus much more. Folks, stay right where you're at. Network break coming up. More with Chris Kabatz on the other side.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeforsomewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. I want to give a special thanks to Michael Thompson, WND, and Connie Hernandez as well. Thank you both. God bless you both. Great people at WND. Superstore.wnd.com, where you can get Muslim Mafia. Highly recommend it. All their stuff, but Muslim Mafia indeed. Chris Kabatz is really kind of like the star player in that, in my view anyway. It's just an amazing read, and it's more relevant, as Chris says, more relevant today. Not just as relevant, but even more relevant today than it was at the time it was written. And I admire Chris for his tenacity, his courageousness, his courage, and his investigative ability very much. And understanding the threat is, in fact, the website to go to. But, Chris, let me just, rather than go where I thought we'd go before the break, let me ask you this. You had uncovered... It's always investigations. You follow the money. And there's always seems to be criminal elements involving money. You had uncovered a fraud scheme involving CARE. Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. For those people who are unfamiliar with the entire process, it's in the book, but for those people who are unfamiliar with it, talk to us like we know nothing about it, and let's just kind of get into it.
Okay.
All right.
Sure. So when I first began my internship at the Herndon office, the CARE Maryland, Virginia office in Herndon, Virginia, within just a couple of weeks, we uncovered a fraud scheme where essentially the resident attorney, there was only one resident attorney. This is a satellite office for CARE. One resident attorney that they were putting out brochures to Muslims in the area saying, you know, if you have trouble with your employer, they're not allowing you to wear your hijab or something like that, then, or your immigration case, then contact our resident attorney. And what we were able to uncover and show was that the one resident attorney, remember, this is an organization that bills itself as a Muslim civil rights organization, and their one resident attorney in this office was taking money from Muslims to handle their immigration cases. The problem was he wasn't actually representing them in their immigration cases because he wasn't even an attorney. He had never practiced law. He had never passed the state bar exam, wasn't licensed to practice law anywhere in the United States, and he had a rap sheet out of Philadelphia. That was CARE's civil rights resident attorney. And so when CARE got wind of this, and the executives at Washington, D.C. got wind of this, rather than doing the right thing, they actually contacted the victims and made them sign a document saying that they wouldn't disclose this to the media. And then, rather than contacting the police and contacting the State Bar Association and telling them that, A, we're a civil rights organization, but we didn't take 5 minutes to vet our one attorney, they did the opposite of the right thing. They closed down their offices, they closed down their email accounts, their bank accounts, and then they started shredding documents. Now, if you're an intern in an office, that's the person that does the boring work like shredding, right? So I was the one that was tasked with shredding documents, and that was the beginning of me preserving evidence at that office. That's how I ended up getting 12,000 pages of documents. A lot of those came out of that office. Now, because that office closed down, the executive director actually gave me a recommendation so that I could go right into the Washington, D.C. office. And they never vetted me because I got a recommendation from the executive director of the Herndon office. So in many ways, as far as the project goes, it was fortuitous that right there, if I wouldn't have been in that office at that time, they would have closed that office and no one would have ever known why they closed the office. Now, my father ended up contacting the Muslim victims of this fraud scheme, and several of them agreed to sue CARE And so there is a lawsuit going on right now where the victims of this fraud scheme are suing CARE. So, yeah, we're doing our part to get at these jihadis any way we can.
I take it CARE hasn't sent you any invitations or Christmas cards or, you know, happy Ramadan wishes, right?
No, Ibrahim Hooper was trying to help me get married while I was undercover there, and now he has ceased to offer his assistance in that matter.
So. Oh, my goodness. Okay, and obviously, when an investigation is as effective as yours was, the blowback in extensive and intense, and of course, so you're to be shredding documents. You're not shredding documents. You're actually securing that for evidence, and you're actually when reading the book. I mean, there's a lot of information of activity that would be, in my view, and this is my personal opinion, that would be considered seditious or antithetical to the Constitution and against the government. But yet, here's a lawsuit, you know, against you. By the way, if we cover this already, I apologize. Where does that stand at this point? Is it pretty much?
Yeah, so from my understanding, and I don't follow this day to day, but my understanding is that all of the pre-trial proceedings are completed. I am hoping that we will get to go to trial either at the end of this year or the first half of next year. Okay. That is where we stand.
These things take up
last year too. So
man, I mean, again, understanding how these work. Being a part of that exclusive club, these take a long time and certainly a lot of money. 8 years, you said? 8 years in?
Yeah. The book came out in late 2009, and if it's not 8 years, it's somewhere around seven, because right. I think the lawsuit came out in 2009 or 2010. So.
And yeah, that's a lot of money. And it quite the emotional toll it has on, I'm sure it has on you, the financial toll is just amazing. All right, and I understand too, you know, how delicate you have to be when it comes to this kind of stuff. Now,
well, the nice thing is most of it's all in the book anyway. So,
well, there you go, and that's an even that by itself is a good reason, folks. Muslim Mafia. WND Superstore. And again, thank you to Michael Thompson and Connie Hernandez. But okay, where we stand right now, you've got we've got two Islamic or Muslim congressmen, Andre Carson, Keith Ellison. But by the way, let me ask you about Obama. Do you believe Obama is a Muslim? And in the circle of that you are in CARE, any reference to Obama, any inside scoop you can kind of give us?
Everyone was incredibly excited about President Obama. I don't think it matters, and I don't mean this to dodge the question.
Sure.
I just mean that I don't think it mattered to them from a policy standpoint. He did everything the Muslim Brotherhood could have ever dreamed of. So whether from their perspective, whether he was a Muslim or not, they didn't care, because even if they would have had a Muslim president, they couldn't have done more for the Muslim Brotherhood than President Obama did anyway.
Right.
So that's why I say I really don't I don't know one way or the other. I've heard a lot of anecdotal stories, but I don't know. And from a policy, national security perspective, it doesn't matter, because he did everything the Muslim Brotherhood could have ever dreamed of.
And you're exactly right. Yeah. Okay. Well, where do we stand with respect to our national security and CARE? There's so many different directions that we can go. And I also want to ask you about the Awan brothers. Have you heard about the Awan brothers?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? I'll ask that first. The Owen brothers, three brothers, and two of their wives working in the IT department of the Democratic Congress.
So, yeah.
For those who don't know, any thoughts or assessments on that situation?
Well, you know, simply, if we can't even vet our own people that are working in IT on Capitol Hill, how in the world do we think that we're going to vet Muslim refugees coming over here?
Good point.
But that's a sidebar. Look, there is catastrophic failure across the board on vetting Muslims. There seems to be, and it's not a coincidence. That's what CARE has worked for. That's been their agenda on Capitol Hill, is to get everybody walking on eggshells when it comes to Islam and Muslims, to where they won't do due diligence on investigating and vetting the people that they have right in there. And so for every Awad brothers that gets caught in this situation, know that there are plenty more out there right now that are gathering intelligence that were never vetted properly, and will do damage or harm to the U.S. in the future. So it's just one example, one data point of how we have failed on this issue.
I understand. And that's a very good point. Obviously, what President Trump has attempted to do, many refer to it as a Muslim ban. I do suspect that you feel that's appropriate given the political and spirit or religious ideology of Muslims.
I always say when I'm asked about the travel ban, and I see this on social media quite a bit, where people will say, oh, it's, even the people defending the policy will say, it's not a Muslim ban, it's not a Muslim ban, it's just these particular countries. It's a good first step, but 100%, I don't believe that there is any problem from a national security perspective if there were a Muslim ban, to where we said, look, this is an ideology that teaches the Sharia, and there's no Islam without Sharia, there's no Sharia without Islam, that teaches that the entire planet should be subjugated under Sharia law. Now, I don't want my family and my and everyone else's family in America to ever have to worry about being subjugated under Sharia law. And so why in the world would we allow Muslims here in the first place? And for people that don't understand this threat and really don't haven't read or studied Sharia, don't understand what Islam is truly about, they only have snippets. If once you understand this threat, I've been to mosques all over the country. I never heard a peaceful version of Islam at any mosque I ever attended. Every Islamic scholar I ever learned Islam about said that there's only one Islam, and the Quran is the word of their God, Allah, and Muhammad is the perfect example of a man. And Muhammad was a warlord that beheaded people, told his followers and himself said that he had been commanded to fight unbelievers until they submitted to Islam or paid the jizya, so they submitted to Islamic law. But the point is, this is not a peaceful ideology. It's never been a peaceful ideology. We have 1,400 years of history showing otherwise. Why in the world would we allow Muslims en masse to come into this country? That being said, of course I support the president's travel ban, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings if it was expanded to include a Muslim ban. And I know I went a little long on that, but I get a little fired up.
No, man. You can go long, and believe me.
Chris, I got a question from a kind of a different direction, and I'm truly curious about this. I've read a lot of reports where, and I don't know if your time undercover or if what you've seen can lend any credence or take away from this, but we've seen a lot of cases where the federal government, the FBI, will gather Muslim patsies, as they say. And I think they, not for the preaching, Anwar al-Awlaki, there were some people under him who carry out attacks that were under his teachings that were allegedly used as patsies, where the FBI will set them up with weapons, guns. Have you seen any type of this activity before in your undercover operations?
That's one of the things that they will do as far as stings is just get people to think that they're actually arming themselves. I mean, like for the instance of Terry Lee Lowen, this was an FBI sting in Wichita, in Kansas, where he thought he was driving a van full of explosives onto a tarmac at the airport and was going to blow up a plane of innocent passengers sitting there on the tarmac, and of course they were all inert. So that's certainly a valid technique that the FBI will use in their stings. Does that, in my experience, mine working undercover was primarily with a different type of jihadi, which the jihadis that I'm working with in Washington DC, their jihad was focused on political influence operations and, intelligence, espionage, treason, and media manipulation. That was more the focus of their, from a Sharia standpoint, jihad is total warfare. And so one of the lines of operation in this jihad is physical terrorist activity. That's the one that we in the West, particularly here in the United States, has been focused on for years. Where we are failing catastrophically is understanding that political influence operations are happening every single day, and it is necessarily thwarting our efforts to go after the terrorists because we have outsourced our national security training to Muslim Brotherhood so that we don't offend Muslims. I mean, this is just pure insanity. That tone is changing now that President Trump is in office. I'm seeing good signs and good things happening under President Trump. I'm incredibly hopeful that he will be able to dismantle this network. So, but that's what we've been up against for the last 8 years. I don't know if I really answered your question there.
I think you did. Let's talk about, if you don't mind, one of my favorite jihadi ladies, Linda Sarsour. Let's have a chat about her. Such a stellar human being.
You have to be careful because she just put a tweet out saying that she's taking names of all those people that are defaming her.
Okay, hang on just a second, Chris. Linda Sarsour, Hagman Report, Doug Hagman, me personally, okay, defaming you? No, we're just speaking the truth. In my personal opinion, which, by the way, we're still allowed to have in this country, you are a Muslim jihadist.
Absolutely.
All right, so, but what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, I don't know how you defame a jihadi in the first place.
There you go.
But look, this is a person that I think is the poster child for what's been called the red-green axis, where you've got the hard-left Marxist socialist groups working hand-in-hand with the jihadi groups. For me, Linda Sarsour is the poster child of that. She worked with socialist organizations in this women's march against Trump earlier in the year. Her family is Hamas. She has family members that are members of Hamas that are convicted terrorists. With Hamas, she is on the Muslim Brotherhood speaking circuit, for crying out loud. She travels around to ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, CARE conferences, and speaks. These are Muslim Brotherhood organizations. In fact, when she made the comments about jihad, that was at an Islamic Society of North America conference. So you've got a jihadi, Linda Sarsour, speaking at a jihadi conference, the Muslim Brotherhood conference, and she calls for jihad, which, why wouldn't she? She's a jihadi at a jihadi conference calling for jihad, and I would just say, well, you know, no one should be shocked that she's doing that.
But what concerns me, or what just blows my mind, why in the world hasn't the Secret Service knocked on her door? Because in my view, what I heard, at least this is my impression of what I heard, she's threatening the security of the president, of the office of the presidency, and of course our country.
Of course. You and I understand that because we understand what jihad is.
Right.
But look, this narrative that jihad is like spiritual yoga, and it's just absolutely insane. But the Muslim Brotherhood has done a phenomenal job of working with the media that to hammer this over and over and over. Jihad is a peaceful internal struggle. Jihad for 1400 years has always been warfare against non-Muslims. Every aspect of war. And I've mentioned them several times, but I just really want to hammer this point home. When they say jihad, they mean total warfare against the civilization. Whatever it takes. Intelligence gathering, treason, sedition, espionage, political influence operations, media, interfaith dialogue is an aspect of the jihad. And of course, shooting things and blowing things up. But she knows what she means when she says jihad. She knows that that means she is calling for Muslims to wage jihad, to wage war against the Trump administration. And because as a devout Muslim, her purpose would be the same as Al-Qaeda's or the Islamic States or Hezbollah's or Al-Shabaab or Boko Haram or the Taliban or fill in the blank. They all say the same thing.
Yep.
They want to wage jihad until the entire planet's under Sharia. And she knows that. But it's been so fascinating for me to watch this playbook that they use where people like Hassan Shibli, the director of Care in Florida, got on television with Ben Shapiro. Absolutely loved that interview. I thought Mr. Shapiro did a great job of calling him out. But saying that we want to... what was it? We want to reclaim the word jihad.
Right.
I mean, just, I have to laugh because I know about Islam from Islamic scholars, and they are phenomenal at working this, doublespeak. He knows exactly what jihad is. He also knows that as a Muslim, he is obliged to lie if it advances the jihad. And so that's why you can see him get on TV, be perfectly comfortable saying that he wants to reclaim the word jihad, knowing exactly that Islamic scholars have agreed for 1400 centuries that jihad is warfare against non-Muslims.
Amen. Just to give you a heads up, Chris, I'm going to we're going to edit this segment of your appearance, and I'm going to tweet it to Linda along with my comments. Just because I just feel like it. Your comments, spiritual yoga. I had to write that down. Jihad. It cracked me up. We got about 5 minutes before the end of the program. Take it wherever you want to take it, Chris. Gonna give you a wide berth because, you've got just so much information and there's so much that's topical and relevant. We'd love to have you come back, by the way, but in the remaining 5 minutes,
sure,
you got the floor.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, I really am the last person that I ever thought would be involved in the counter jihad movement. But I also feel like this is a calling. There are certain people that when they hear about jihad or Islam or Sharia and they start reading about it, they feel compelled to learn more and they want to get involved. And I just feel like some people are called to do this. And as I've mentioned, this is a war of narratives. So if there are people that are listening, to me right now, just, we need your help in this war of narratives. And one of the main war of narratives that's going on is you've got this whole side of this one narrative saying that this issue, the jihad, terrorism, has nothing to do with Islam. And then there's the narrative of the truth. And what we need you to do is get involved on social media. We have UTT_USA. Follow us on Twitter. And then my handle on Twitter is Kara V. Gobbets. But get involved. Sign up for our newsletter at understandingthethreat.com. Get a copy of Muslim Mafia on WorldNet Daily's site. Learn as much as you possibly can so that you can speak intelligently about this threat to your friends, your neighbors, your pastors, your sheriffs. The bottom line is we are witnessing the collapse of Europe as we speak right now. There are certain countries in Europe, short of a miracle, that will become an Islamic state. And our assessment and understanding of the threat is that we are not very far behind Europe in that. So we just need you to get involved in some way, shape, or form in the counter-jihad movement. And at understanding the threat, we are more than happy to do that. Contact me anytime at understanding the threat or on Twitter. But look, I've seen this firsthand. I have watched the Muslim Brotherhood, specifically CARE, work to insinuate themselves on Capitol Hill and to poison our foreign policy and our counterterrorism policy here in the United States. And I have to tell you, I've witnessed it. They work incredibly hard at this, and they work at this day in and day out, and we need patriots, the same patriots that stood up and voted for President Trump this past election. We need those same patriots, that same enthusiasm to stand up and stand up against not only the jihadis, but they're the jihadi enablers in the left, the mainstream media particularly. We need you in this fight. We cannot assume that President Trump can handle this going forward. I expect great things from President Trump on this issue, but President Trump cannot dismantle personally the jihadi network in every county in America. He needs Americans to stand up and say, we want to do this with you. We need pastors to speak truthfully from the pulpit about Islam so that their congregation will support sheriffs when they start to dismantle the jihadi network in their area. This is going to take a team effort of a patriotic Americans, county by county, state by state. And we need you also to urge President Trump to get the Muslim Brotherhood designated a terrorist organization, and urge Attorney General Sessions to indict the unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial to include CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America.
Amen. I'm 100% behind you on that, folks. And Chris, none of us can afford to be spectators out there. We have to get involved. And I want to thank you and your organization, Understanding the Threat, for being at the tip of the spear. Certainly, my regards to our regards to your father, Paul Sperry, as well, for your fine book and your work in this book, Muslim Mafia. Go to WND Superstore. Get this book. Also use promo code Hagman. You got to do that though. Use promo code Hagman. But thank you for everything you've done and continue to do. UnderstandingTheThreat.com is the website. Get involved, folks. Chris, thanks so much, man. Even very gracious.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it, so I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, we have to do it again. I'm going to hold you to that. Meanwhile, I'll send a tweet out to Linda just to let her know.
Oh, sure. Sure. We want her to be in the loop, too.
All right. All right, brother. Thank you. God bless you, my friend. Stay safe, all right?
You too. Thank you.
All right. Chris Kibatz, a guy that I really...
Great interview.
Yeah, you know, I really like him. Boy, just what he's done in this book is reflected in this book. Fantastic book. Don't forget, WorldNet Daily Superstore. Use promo code Hagman. Want to thank Michael Thompson, from WND, and, Connie Hernandez, and also, you know, Thomas Lifson from American Thinker. Thank each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being part of our show. Joe.
That'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, and have a great evening.